from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Every day around this time we do the rundown. Let's do it.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an adventure today in terms of, you know, the biggest stories you need to know. But I guess we'll just sort of start with the biggest NFL news, which is CeeDee Lamb is holding the eye. Is that a decent place, I mean, on a day like this?
The final four teams that hadn't started camp start today.
Right.
Starting, talking NFL training camp and the upcoming season, it is time to do it,
yeah.
Brother.
Okay. So
do not feel guilty,
okay,
whatsoever.
Good. Thank you for
we're here.
Reassuring
all
me.
Teams have started camp.
Yes, so CeeDee Lamb has not been able to get the contract extension that other receivers in his class have. He's not expected to show up today with the rest of his team. Last year, a deal scheduled to pay him $18 million this year, and they have been actually bracing for the All-Pro to miss the start of camp in Dallas. It won't become official until today, but he was not on the team's charter flight from Dallas, according to ESPN. Now, it's not a required flight, but again, the expectation is that CeeDee Lamb is not going to be there. He skipped the mandatory minicamp in June, so he's already accrued $100,000 in fines, although those are the ones that can be taken back. Training camp fines, no. Mandatory minicamp, yes.
Mm.
Just to kind of, you know, that's just the CBA.
Okay.
If you miss a day of training camp, you get fined 50 Gs, 50 racks, brother. So, obviously, it's a costly holdout. If indeed, you know, these two teams cannot come to an agreement. Now, the only time I feel like recently that we have seen a holdout become extreme is the Le'Veon Bell, right? I mean, that's the one where he just sat out the entire year. And guess what? It was a mistake. It ended up being a career mistake for him because he never recouped his earnings, right?
Yep.
He did end up getting a contract with the Jets, but he never got his money back from that lost year. So it seems very unlikely that CD would just sit out the whole entire year.
I do not believe he will.
But could he force a trade or something? I don't know. I mean, I suppose. I mean, I guess that's a possibility. You know, if somebody is going to be willing to pay him Justin Jefferson money, there's no doubt. So I think that's kind of just the upshot here. Again, for some historical context, Zach Martin was out of training camp for 3 weeks last year. He got fined $1 million, and he got that rework deal that guaranteed him $36 million in 23 and 24, which was up about $10 million from what he was set to earn. So he got what he wanted. But again, I would argue that a guy like Zach Martin, it's a lot harder to replace an amazing offensive lineman than it is to replace an amazing wide receiver. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
The drop-off is bigger.
I would agree.
The drop-off. Like the average offensive lineman drop off from the great offensive lineman is more drastic than the receiver. Like, there are a lot of decent receivers in the league. Like, Jacoby Myers is a decent receiver, you know?
Yeah, it's weird you went there.
I'm just saying, I look at
there's
him, it's
like, there's a lot above him.
No, I'm just saying, like, he's like an average receiver.
Yeah.
You know, and he's good enough.
Not really. If he's your one, you're dead.
Well, yeah,
that was the case with the Patriots.
Who's the
weird reference
Jacoby. Receiver room for the Cowboys outside of CD?
Oh, that's a good question. Now, there's somebody obvious that had a good.
Oh, they brought in Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks,
who's like old as hell,
but he's a 1,000-yard man anywhere he goes.
Right. So they brought in Brandon Cooks.
You got Tolbert, Brandon Cooks.
So their depth chart is ugly.
It falls off.
Ugh.
It falls off.
Jalen Tolbert is your three? That's disgusting. And now he'd be your two. And then the backup guys are Jalen Brooks, Kevontae Turpin, and a person named Ryan Flournoy.
Damn.
So I feel like
pay CD.
They probably got to get this done.
They will.
And by the way, their starting running back is Ezekiel Elliott. Man, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I got my little guy.
Yeah, Deuce Vaughn. They got him listed third on the depth chart, though.
Little Deuce.
Yeah, he ain't even.
Who's the second guy now?
Rico Dowdle.
Yeah. Dowdle Sports.
Oh, man. It's thin on that side.
Dude, the Cowboys are going to be bad. Cowboys are going to be bad.
I mean, USA Today, again, has them with 8 wins.
It's got
Philly winning the division with 10 wins. That's what I'm saying. This ain't some division
where
Philly's
going to
run off and win too many games.
They didn't do their homework. They turned in a half-assed paper at the buzzer.
I'm just saying, y'all been trying to pronounce Dallas dead for a while now. And they are dead in terms of real contender, but playoff team they have been.
Their linebacking core outside of Parsons, who is not really a linebacker, he's an edge rusher. Like, their linebackers are rough. That's the problem. You're going to be able to run all on these dudes, you know?
Yeah, there have been teams that gouged them.
DeMarcus Lawrence. Chauncey Colston.
They'll be solid defensively. You're predicting this major, Dre. Everybody predicting this major.
Well, it'll probably be worse for them because who's their left tackle that they lost, right? Tyron Smith is gone. Mm-hmm. So Tyron Smith is gone. He's a New York Jet now. So, you know, you're going to have a drop-off there. You know, there's some names changed, right? Some names changed for the Cowboys. From a year ago, and I just think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be a very tough year for them from what they're used to. But I do think when you look at that depth chart, you're like, oh, God, they got to get the CeeDee Lamb deal. Ryan Flournoy era. I don't think anybody's ready for that quite yet.
They know that.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of where he comes in. You know, we like to kind of guess on the show. Like, I think we had if Trevor Lawrence is tied for first, then Jordan Love's going to have to be tied for first, right?
I said Jordan's going to break it. Everybody's predicted Jordan's going to reach his head.
You know,
I pushed back on that when you said it early in the week, but all indications are, you know, it'll be the highest.
Yeah, by 500 or something like that,
yeah.
You know, just to say that they gave it to him.
Just symbolic.
Exactly.
And then Dak's going to come bust it when he takes it to 60.
Correct.
Or, as Schefter said, maybe north of 60 million.
Yeah.
He's maybe significantly north.
Yeah, so CD's holding out, and, you know, it just sets up. Listen, we're, less than 10 days away from the Hall of Fame game?
Next Thursday, Bears, Houston, Texans.
8 days.
I mean, I couldn't be more excited because obviously you have to play Caleb.
What's our expectation in terms of how many series he gets? One, two, a half?
Not that. Maybe a quarter. I don't know. It'll be talked about more, obviously, within the coming week.
Okay.
He's talked about just getting reps in a certain number during the entire preseason, so I don't know how he's going to spread them out because I think we got 4 games with the – adding the Hall of Fame game.
So wouldn't they do, like, the first and last?
Doesn't seem like you play them in that last one.
Okay.
I don't know, do you? I thought we've gone away from that, whereas it used to be there was a dress rehearsal late. We've sort
right.
of gone away from that.
Yeah, maybe
previous
so.
Previous years.
I don't know. I need to know this because, you know, preseason is a great opportunity for a lot of reasons. So I need to know these
Well, there's
things.
No reason for you to watch. Now, you are who the Rams' backup quarterback is now. Matthew Stafford is now going back to camp, apparently, with a restructured contract. Planning to play a few more years. I was considering whether or not the Rams,
yeah.
with Stafford 36, might be a player for Dak Prescott. Apparently not. They reworked the deal with Matthew Stafford. But do you know who's backing him up?
Oh, yeah. It's they brought in the worst quarterback in the NFL. They brought the worst quarterback in the NFL in Jimmy Garoppolo. That's who it was, isn't it?
They brought Jimmy G in the back.
For what, bro?
And he's coming off of the, what was it, steroids thing or
yeah.
cancer or whatever,
yeah.
like coming off of that as well as injury and everything
yeah.
else. But he'll be Matthew. I had forgot. I missed that signing until I read about Stafford's contract this morning that Garoppolo is going to be the backup there. Stafford goes down, it all goes to heck. You know, it doesn't matter that you got Puka and Cooper Kupp. I mean, we've seen Jimmy Garoppolo and what he'll do when he's in there. But I thought that was interesting, man, that at 36, it looks like, you know, the Rams are saying, dude, you realize he's coming off a Pro Bowl year, Matthew Stafford at 36 years old.
Yep.
And so they're kind of stuck with him in a way. It's not stuck in a sense that you have a Pro Bowler, a guy that you know is good, and you know especially now that he's got two proven receivers can show. I think he threw for 3,900, 4,000 yards last year. But it's also you're stuck in a situation where you got an aging quarterback and you have no idea your future after that in a league that's going to young quarterback and rushing to get that guy, you know, as the future. So what you're saying is you have to believe that you can still win a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford, and it's hard to argue you can't when he's coming off of a Pro Bowl year. Does that make sense? Like, they're kind of caught, damned if they do, damned if they don't, because the guy was good last year. But I think the days of them competing for a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford, and especially it matters too that Aaron Donald is now retired, I think are over. And so you're in some senses better off changing gears and trying to find the next guy, right? Because you're always stuck when you're paying that older quarterback who's not going to win you a Super Bowl.
Yes. No, that's
so they're in an interesting situation because again they reworked the contract
right
now, and it looks like it's going to provide him years. He's planning to play, you know, maybe 2-3 years of high level football at 36 years old. And you know, some of those, we've seen it where guys are playing until, you know, close to 40, Aaron Rodgers, everything else with Tom Brady, and it looks like Matthew Stafford intends to do the same. I was thinking maybe, you know, with Aaron Donald calling in a career, but I think getting Puka, too, revitalized him in some ways as well. Nobody's tough. You used to be down on Stafford that he wasn't a great one, but he is definitely that.
Yeah.
And he has played through some stuff, and
yep,
he finally got his Super Bowl, and
yep,
looks like he intends to play, you know, at a high level for the next couple
years. I suspect
the
Rams will be competitive.
And the Rams are fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, Kyron Williams is one of the best running backs in the league nobody talks about.
Well, he is, but you're taking out one of the best defensive players in NFL history out of that defense. You don't just replace a force.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about Pat. I'm talking about in a locker room when Aaron Donald's in there, how he lifts all, you know, a guy like that lifts folks around him with the force that he is. Like, I just wonder about them defensively
taking a real step
back when you don't have Aaron Donald pushing
things. You probably can't avoid that.
The way they have had for the last decade.
Although I like some things they did. I like that they draft Jared Verse from Florida State. They bring in Tre'Davious White from Buffalo. Kobe Durant, like they actually have some nice pieces in the secondary and the defensive backfield.
Well, you tell me how
their line's rough though.
What about Arizona and Seattle? Like, how real is Arizona? You love Kyler Murray.
Yeah,
some people think they're going to win 7 games.
That's the over under.
How the Rams were performed is going to be dictated in some part by how good that division is. And if we still think that the Seattle Seahawks and Arizona are mediocre at best, then there's a spot for the Rams to be right up there behind the 49ers. And in the hunt for a playoff spot,
and
it's right there for the taking.
Yeah, I think
I don't think Seattle's moving up. Do you?
No, I do not. I'm not high on them at all.
And I ain't ready to come up on Arizona, even though say they're about to win.
I think Kyler, he played. You know, he showed some things last year, and the offense could be better. So I think there's definitely I like their upward mobility a lot more than Seattle's. For example, I think Seattle's topped out. I mean, with Geno, they've probably gotten the most out of that they were ever going to get. They make the playoffs a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They got beat by the 49ers, but they did make it at least. So I think that's about as good as you can probably hope to do with Geno. But yeah, it's funny. It's just like, what the hell did Sean McVay see in Jimmy Garoppolo that compelled him to bring him on with a suspension? By the way,
yeah. When I read that this morning that they had signed him, oh, that's a bad idea.
I guess it's because they were in the division and they thought. Yeah, but bro, that was the 49ers, not Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's lost whatever competitive edge he did used to have,
exactly.
And I think you've proved it to me now after watching him year after year that he's not the winner that people were trying to claim he was. You know, in that San Francisco system, he was. He benefited from the system. The guy's not a winner.
Yep. CeeDee Lamb is holding out for Hall of Fame game next Thursday. Jason will be hosting a watch party, and he will be sending out details on the Facebook page for the address. And bear down. Will there be a cover?
Probably. You get a cover everywhere now.
Okay, so even at your home there will be a cover.
Realize they charge you a tip pickup for Jason's Deli.
Oh, yeah.
Here's my issue with it. There was nowhere to push zero. That's how they fooled my brain.
Right.
There was no zero.
Yep.
And so I had to push something. that I'm picking up. There's been no service, right? Should we have to tip in that situation?
I don't think so. I think it's kind of Bush League that they put that on us.
But then I felt like if I'd said, where's the option for zero, then I look like the ass.
Right, right, right.
The ungenerous person that doesn't want to pay for his food.
Like,
well, I've actually paid for my food. You're now trying to add a tip for service.
That, of which there was not.
Right, and I mean, unless we're talking about, again, you're a generous person, you give tips. Set that to the side. You're a great person. But I'm talking about, you want a tip now on this pickup that we've never asked for a tip before on.
Mm-hmm. That's everywhere,
price
dude.
Is already everywhere. Way up sky high.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, like.
So, man.
I think, yeah.
And then you don't give me the option to zero it out and make me feel guilty.
And I do.
It's something about that.
And I do.
And they know what they're doing.
I do tip because you feel like such a.
If I had asked her, yes, well, I want zero.
Right.
You know, she.
Well, you.
Okay, you asked
her. I think there is a no tip option, right?
Dude, there was nothing there for me. Unless it's a small, you know, there's a small button for options underneath. They had given me all numbers except zero.
Yeah, like I think.
Zero should be available.
I think the reality of it is...
give people the option not to tip if they so choose.
Somebody tried this, and it was successful, you know, maybe during COVID is kind of when it felt like... Because I get that, right? Like
we added on.
Yeah, like COVID...
And it started to become accepted.
Was service.
Sort of, that's the right thing to do.
You're in there sort of...
We were tipping more as well.
But COVID, although it still exists...
Know where you're going with this.
We're not in COVID times, right?
It adjusted.
Yeah, we're back in normal times, as normal as it's ever going to be again. And, you know, I have no problem. I always tip extremely generously. I'm proud of this because I always do it when I'm out and I'm sitting down in a restaurant at a bar or something like that. I always tip generously because there is a service tended.
Yeah.
You are taking my order. You are bussing it back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, you're having a conversation with me. There's a service that's being tended. If I set an order for pickup, all you're doing is putting the food that was made, which I paid for, in the bag and putting it on the counter, in which there is really no service being tended. So I would ask the restaurant, what is the tip for in this case? And they would probably have no answer.
Well, just seeing if they can tap into your generosity.
Right. And I'm like, and that's predatory. That's exploitative.
Especially when you don't put the zero on
because
it. I agree that becomes predatory.
This is what it's really about, okay? It's not about the employees who are busting their ass for way less money than they deserve, right? That's just the truth of it. It's these greedy corporations and these CEOs
trying to suck out more. That's what we're talking about.
That
here.
Are
terrible.
That are
exactly.
That
we're
are,
talking about the folks in the offices.
Once again, trying to pass the costs down to the consumer.
1,000%.
Right? Which is
we want the man.
BS.
We don't want the worker.
Which is BS. And unfortunately, it does get taken out on the employee. That's the person that has to bear the brunt of it. Not the CEO
who's up in his
ivory tower.
The employee doesn't get raises and everything else, and they're working for less than their worth and their services worth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the part of it that, like, you know, that's capitalism.
You're right. They're taking advantage
but that's,
of both
that's,
them and us,
That's
though.
What's happening. Yeah. Well, wherever it is, you can go anywhere, pick up an order anywhere. You know what I mean? And you're going to see that. For a pickup, just for a sheer pickup, nothing else. Again, I always tip 25-30%, and I'm not just saying this because, like, oh, look at me. That's just what I do, right?
Yeah, you're a great man.
If a service is tended, you know what I'm saying? That's what I do.
I salute you like Biden.
Yeah.
Thank you for your 25%.
And I'm not the person, by the way.
What a patriot.
I'm not even the person that like...
John's going to tell you he's not that guy.
Bases it on how good it was. Like, I'm not
right.
like...
You're still... Even if it was bad, you're going to give 20...
Even if it was bad.
You're a hell of a dude.
Matter of course.
Even
not,
if,
not since I married my wife do I do
because
that
Because they may...
No, sir.
They may be having
service,
a bad day.
It's going to
they
be reflected.
Going through some things.
I understand that, but we have to understand. Let me know it's a bad day for you or something.
No one's going
to
do that.
What if your service just bad
hey,
all the time?
Hey, I'm having a bad day.
Now,
what can
sense,
I do for you?
What if a person is just a terrible waiter or waitress and you're constantly giving 25%? That is encouraging bad service. That's a time where it should be reflected. I'm not pushing back on what you do. What I'm saying is there would be times where you should not do that, especially if this is someone who constantly shows that behavior as a server and you're rewarding it. You're just encouraging them to still do the same damn thing to me and Brad when we come through and bring our families. It should be reflected somehow if it's that bad. Tell me you're having a bad day, then I might listen. I'm a listening
well, I
person.
I shouldn't have to tell you that I'm having a bad day.
I get all that, but you
want me to be
you giving
you
them
me
the
to
benefit, you giving the bad service the benefit of the doubt, saying, "Oh, that must be a bad day." No, sir, I'm not going to let you mistreat me.
Well,
because
I mean,
you're having a bad day, you are in the service industry in the end, and that is a choice.
Well, yes.
That's a choice. And again, that ain't saying, oh, you know,
wow,
give King Jason the five-star. We know that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you have to reflect it, John, sometimes and tell people that that is not acceptable in terms of your service.
Well,
you can't be Mr. Goodman like you're telling us you are all the time with 25%.
I mean, if you cuss spit me in out your food, my family, yeah, I mean, you're not getting a 20. You get a 15.
There you go, John.
You get a 15.
Spit in your stuff and give me that 25%.
But see, you sound like, you know, somebody has to come forward.
No, faith has taught me.
Excuse me, sir. I'm having a very bad day.
Otherwise, they will just take advantage of you.
I don't know.
You have to stand up
for
yourself.
Think that they're thinking in those terms, like, let me take advantage of this dumbass.
That's what I'm picking at. I know you will stand up for yourself, we have seen, and your family, and that if a situation has become offensive to you with the service, you
well,
are
it's
not
gotta
giving,
be offensive.
You're telling us a story, but you will not give them 25%. Like, you got a line, bro,
yes,
just like all of us do, and that's all I'm saying.
No, you're
is
right.
Is that there has to be a space for that.
No, you're 100% right.
There has to be.
Well, if Ron Tillery,
it's out
when
here.
He tries to bring me my bagel, you know, if he wants
Ron
to say something about my kid.
Ron ain't working at no damn bagel shop. That man is, what, happily retired somewhere. Okay?
I wouldn't go happily.
Still
where is Ron?
I don't. Oh, he's on Twitter.
Man, I saw him in Cordova somewhere.
He's on Twitter.
Is he in market?
He's here.
That's
that
great.
Man said he's
I haven't
happily
seen him.
I don't think it's happily.
I don't know if it's retired.
I think he's begrudgingly retired, bro.
To be honest with you, it's kind of a mystery, Ron.
I just got an update. He's actually the company next week on Jeffrey & Company. I don't know if you knew that or not. Actually, no, that's wrong. I'm sorry. I misread that. He is not.
Well, you're going to have
to pay. That would actually be entertaining. That'd be entertaining.
Yeah, Jeff, we'll have to pay. I don't know if we're not doing that.
Are we?
But yes, you're right.
Ron was big.
I will definitely stand up, but I think the number of times where in a service situation I've actually been compelled to do that, I think is never. I think I've never been compelled to stand up for my family's name. Unlike you, maybe. I mean, maybe you have run into
it. Again, it's more. I'll just let the Doberman do it. I'll let my wife do it. But again, we will not be. Now I stand up behind her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You
know, it's not like I'm the one doing it.
And you better be glad she's holding me back.
Having to get belligerent. She takes care of business.
But yeah.
But now I'm about that life.
Yeah, exactly. The Bernese Mountain Dog.
Yeah, we're just not going to be taking advantage.
I thought that dog was friendly. No, it was not friendly, man. That was not at least not my friend.
Apparently didn't think it was your time to be there at the home.
No.
Clearly not. But yeah, listen, I think you guys can sort of judge for yourselves, like, you know, who you'd rather.
Oh yeah, John's Mr. Generous. That's what he wants you to know.
If you spit in my food, you
get the moral of the
10% to 15%. If you're a generally kind person, you know, you get 25 to 30, maybe even more. You know what I mean? That's just
it's very rare that you're in that position, I feel like. For the most part, the service in Memphis is fantastic. Nobody's saying you go around here and everybody's asses, you know, as waiters or waiters. I think for the most part, it's always great. It's very rare those situations where, you know, it has to be reflected.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Anyway, congrats to all patrons.
Yeah, and corporations who are, you know, stealing money from us, just trying to suck out more.
And
with tips on things that shouldn't be tipped.
Their front-facing employees to bear the brunt of the aggression from Jason when he picks up his Jason's Deli. That's the moral of the story.
How about that WNBA All-Star Weekend that John didn't watch?
Yeah. How about it?
But apparently many did with me. And I told you I was locked in. I watched the whole thing. Saturday's showcase, John, that included Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark as WNBA All-Stars and was going against Team USA as part of that WNBA All-Star Weekend. That's what drew me in. Drew 3.44 million viewers on ABC per Nielsen. That crushes the previous audience record set in 2003 when 1.44 million, get those numbers, that's 2 million more, tuned in to ABC for a Saturday afternoon tilt at Madison Square Garden that had Lisa Leslie, Sue Bird, Dawn Staley, Cheryl Swoop, Cynthia Cooper, some of the best names, Hall of Fame names that have ever played. That was the game that they topped by 2 million. The thing has exploded. I'm not faking my we're giving out respect burgers for WNBA All-Star Weekend. Just how competitive the All-Star game was alone. And I realize it's a different setup when you got Team USA versus the WNBA All-Stars. That certainly made the competitiveness, took it to a higher level. But they got it. And you had competitors in the skills challenge and the three-point contest who really wanted it. And you could tell. And
yep.
Some of it is. It's you have to take into account that Alicia Gray ends up winning, 60-something percent of her salary by winning the two events in terms of the three. So it's different than the NBA in terms of want to and how much we're putting into the weekend. But they pulled it off right. They're rewarded in terms of eyeballs, and it just continues to explode. I thought this was interesting in terms of the audience for the game peaked at from 10:30 to 10:43 with just over 4 million viewers. It is the 17th, this is important context, WNBA game this year that has topped 1 million viewers, a remarkable achievement given the league had not hit the million viewership mark in the previous 16 years. 17th time they've done it this year. John's girl, Caitlin Clark, and has played in 15 of the 17 games. She is, there is no question, the reason for the increase in eyeballs. And obviously as part of that, and Angel Reese has her fans as well, but as part of that, you know, that class that she's part of, you've had more eyeballs than just folks interested in Caitlin Clark. But she has taken it to an unbelievable level. Again, she's been involved with 15 of these 17 games where you've had, you know, more than the NBA, WNBA has ever had watching. They're getting a new TV media rights deal. It's not fake, man. The interest is real. They're pulling men in. They got me watching now. Again, Agumake was unbelievable in the yep. All-Star game. And so shout out to the women. And Caitlin Clark has certainly been a big part of this. And I'll tell you what, everything she does now, the stuff she's wearing, is news. They're yep. putting it on TMZ and everything else. And it's only helping the women's game.
Yeah,
it's fun to see the explosion.
It was. It was definitely eye-popping, no doubt about it. I mean, I don't watch NBA All-Star stuff. So, you know, but this seemed more compelling at least than that.
It was certainly more compelling. Now, you're not going to be able to do sort of what they set up, I guess, in most years where you have a Team USA versus an All-Star team. But I do think my point on the whole thing is you can make it more competitive, whether it's dollar signs, which, again, I'd still tell you guys who are making, you know, $40, $50 million a year still love money. And, you know, if you throw the right amount at them, they don't stop wanting money. And that's the way you make the All-Star weekend more competitive. NBA is always trying to get us to watch more. They focus so much on making it year-round, right? Expanding the draft, free agency season. They talk about it all the time, how they want to make the sport year-round. Focus on making the stuff that you got better, you know, especially what had been, something we always looked forward to with All-Star weekend. I remember those Jordan games with Magic and those guys, and yeah, they would play around for a little bit, but by the time you got to the fourth quarter, guys wanted to win. That's gone. And so when you take the competition out of it, you take the competitive spirit, what's the point in watching? The women have got it figured out.
Right.
Let's get it figured out in the NBA. There's enough money to go around that you can throw around some and make this thing a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Next story.
All right, we got some Grizz roster news, Jason.
Good.
We have a waving.
Figured that was coming. Zaire trade.
Oh, this is no good. Who are we waving?
And we have an addition. We have an addition. Mm-hmm. So there's a subtraction and there's an addition. The subtraction is, and this should come as absolutely no surprise to anybody that was watching Summer League, Trey Jemison. Trey Jemison is gone. He had a very uninspiring Summer League, I would say.
I think we cut him yesterday.
It was just announced. Okay.
No, I'm just saying you and I.
Oh, us.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
You guys got him first.
We actually had the conversation.
Yeah, yes. Breaking
we
it
let
for
him
them.
Go first.
Yes, exactly.
Y'all cut him.
Well,
him
the Grizzlies have officially waived him now.
They followed.
And they have replaced him with Jay Huff from the Orlando Magic, the 7-foot big there who was the G League Defensive Player of the Year in 2022-2023. He was with the Magic in the Summer League. And I will say, I think it's actually a much better fit for the Grizzlies. He's bigger. He's got a little bit more offensive game, better defensively than Trey. I mean, Trey really struggled in Summer League. You just have to say. Like, if you watch those games, like, he just did not. I mean, Khalil Ware gave him the absolute blues, and that's a rookie. You know, that can't be the case. I know he was a first-round pick, but you're supposed to, you know, have a little more to say about that matchup, and he did not. And so, listen, I know Grizzlies fans get so attached to these players, you know, and things like that, but Trey was extremely limited. He's undersized, just not good enough, right, as the backup big or even emergency big option. So you upgrade there, I think, with Jay Huff. I don't know if you had some words you wanted to say about Trey, but I will cede the floor to you if that is indeed the
No,
case.
We closed the case on Jemison yesterday. Now, I would like to talk about Jay Huff.
Well, what about him?
Because you seem real high on him.
I like Jay Huff.
Didn't you hear when John started talking about?
Kind of perked up.
When he said, but I will say.
Kind of perked up.
That's when you know John's
about
to say
something.
I like the replacement. But I will say.
He's tall.
And you could hear it coming. Is this my Edie backup for the season?
He's your emergency big, I think.
Oh.
Is he really going to be, is this a guy that's going to be on the roster?
It's a two-way. Two-way.
He's taking the two-way at Jemison.
Yeah.
So you can use him, and this is going to be what we do, break glass in case
Correct.
Of Zach Edey emergency.
And Zach Edey and the back and the whoever is backing him up emergency. Like they would go Brendan Clark at the five over Jay Huff if Edey got
hurt. You don't do but haven't we learned that you don't put Brandon Clark next to Jaren Jackson to start? Haven't we learned that over the years that Brandon Clark is better coming off the bench?
Okay, well then Santi. They put Santi at the four and Jaren at the five over this guy playing the five. They would come up with some combination.
Yeah, I realize that's okay for get through.
But yeah.
Again, like we've said, I still feel there. It's so much on Edey when you want to go big in a league where I believe you're going to want to go big more, in a Western Conference where you're going to want to go big. We've seen how being big with this offense, with the this Ja Morant led offense, you need a high octane when you can rebounding big next to Jaren, and I just think you're going to need it more than right now the roster set up to be, especially if Edey rolls an ankle, is down for a significant amount of time. Then we're back to Jaren being a five and us figuring it out next to him. I just think that is a path to being, again, a rebounding team that is in the 20s. You are not winning in the West. I don't care if it's with Ja back and Bane back. I know those guys make a huge difference. But you have got to get back to being a dominant rebounding team. And it seems thin behind Edey. I realize there will be long stretches where you're going small. And Jaren is at the five. This organization is dead set on seeing Jaren at the five. We saw it a lot last year. And there are times where it's great, and the matchup is great, but you have to be able to go big in this Western. We just saw it all playoffs long.
Yeah.
Minnesota, Dallas went big at the trade deadline. They used two bigs, Gafford and Lively. Like,
yeah.
You know, so much is riding on this rookie, you know, on Zach Edey,
mm-hmm.
who, oh, by the way, just, you know, rolled that ankle twice in two games.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't tell you. I mean, it's not DEFCON 3 or anything, but wouldn't you feel better with a little bit of depth? And if you're telling me that Jay Huff is in on a two-way, I guess I feel better about him.
He's
than
better
Jemison.
Than, yeah, exactly right. There you go, dude. I mean, just relax a little bit, man. He shot 62% from the floor, averaged 17 points a game in summer league, you know, 36% from three, 80% from the 78% from the foul line. You know, I just don't know really what you want.
That's the G League, man.
That's Summer League, bro. That's Summer League.
You said he was G League Defensive Player of the Year, and Summer League he played well.
Yeah.
That's two different levels that don't necessarily translate whatsoever.
I mean, Trey Jemison wasn't going to translate either.
No, I would hope for better.
Well, I mean,
I was hoping for better. You're telling me this guy's good. That's why conversation.
It's better, good enough. It's better than Jemison in that situation.
I heard
situation.
Good enough.
In
that's
that
what
slot.
I heard from you.
In that slot. It's an upgrade in that slot. That's all I'm saying. I don't know if, you know, I mean, I think his upside is higher than Trey Jemison's. How's that? That's what I feel very good about.
You know, Harrington talked about them wanting to be under the tax and sort of in position to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and then maybe once you're in the season and you see how things go, then you do what you say you've been willing to do, where it's going over the tax. But I'm just asking the question here. Are we making decisions now based, okay, that's the plan, let's stay under for now, and you take a guy, like, because you got assets, John. Now you got a little bit more flexibility without Zaire. I realize some of that's going to go to Kennard, it feels like, but, you know, there are things you could do. But,
mm-hmm.
I think it's worth having a conversation that you believe Jay Huff is the answer, and, you know, and I have some questions.
Yeah, but at any rate, it's a new day. Two-way in, two-way out.
That's a pretty good two-way player, though. That guy that won a G League Defensive Player of the.
Jay Huff's he's 7'1". He's bigger than Trey. He's got, again, he's got a little bit of a 3-point shot. Trey ain't got that. Trey's like just trying to, you know. That's
well,
his
I don't
game.
I don't need my big standing out shooting threes because I already got Jaren out there. I want more of my Steven Adams type.
I don't think this guy's gonna play.
I don't want that guy shooting too many of them at all.
I don't think this guy's gonna play. That's all I'm saying. I really just don't believe you're gonna see a lot of that. From Jay, if he's playing a lot, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong.
All right. Well, let me know when they get Kennard signed up.
I will. I'll certainly pass it along. For now, you'll have to settle for Jay Huff.
Next story.
Oh, that's really all I got.
Okay. Well, we'll take a break. Norton Hurd, the fourth, is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about Peach Jam, the summer, and his week with Jeffrey. We'll get into all that with him at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you turn to FM, ESPN? Rick Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is the best doing it in Memphis. They make miracles happen. Truth is, you may think you're in a bad situation with your home, or you bought it at a bad time, or whatever the case. You think you may be upside down, or whatever the problems might be. They can help you. They helped Jason. His situation wasn't great. Wasn't ideal. He thought it was worse than it actually was. That's after the Live Love team got their hands on it. Got him a brand new home. Got him the most money for his old one. And now he's happy. Now he's loving life. Reach out. SoToLiveLoveMemphis.com.
Shout out to my man, former Live Love Memphis member, Robbie Marbury. He helped really us, my wife and me, and was working for Jennifer Carson and the Live Love team, and finding us our new home, the home that we purchased now, what, about 6.5 years ago. He was really key in it, and he is moving on. He's moving into the roofing industry, and he had been fantastic for Live Love, a team that's got a bunch of fantastic talent, including guys like Robbie Marbury. I want to salute him as he moves on in a transition period in his career, but did great work for me, and you're going to get the same great work from everybody at Live Love. It's just a sign of how good the people are over there. They're going to take care of you, not just in it to get that extra dollar like many of them are here. They want to get you the most dollars for that home. So call them, 625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency.
Tommy Richmond doesn't give you a lot, does he? I mean,
they're always 2 minutes long. You're right.
Yeah, and I mean, we outlasted Tommy Richmond. That just
I got, you know, when I start talking about Live Love and the people over there, I go a little long, but but you're right that Tommy goes short.
Right. You see that a lot more in today's day and age.
Yeah, you do, because everybody's got short attention spans.
That's right. Gone are the days of...
Including yourself, TikTok, man.
Gone are the days of Brad's heyday, Free Bird. The days of Free Bird are gone, all right?
A little inside baseball. When I was in college radio, if I had to take a piss on the basement floor of the radio station at my college, we were on the fourth floor, and the only way you could pee during a break, because you didn't have all this computer automation, I don't mean to go old school, but you would flip on
Free Bird
or a 10-minute record so you have enough time to go down and whiz.
There you go.
It was a whiz song.
Free Bird, dog.
No more whiz song, man. These 2-minute records. Extended version. You got to get that organ at the beginning.
Yeah. All songs getting shorter.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Exactly right. Yeah. Well, I hope that our the careers of our former Tiger friends get longer.
That's okay.
Not bad.
A little bit of a stretch.
Pretty good.
You did it. You tied it together. You're a professional.
Look, in terms of the Summer League, we were talking about the Summer League, which for me was the event of the summer. I would liken it to, in its prime, Freaknik. It's like Freaknik 1, Summer League 2. You know, and now that Freaknik is gone, I think this has taken the place of Freaknik.
You don't come home with rings from Freaknik.
No, you come home with
diseases.
Now you get rings. No, it wasn't diseases. You were just wilding out.
Yeah, I mean, it was called Freaknik.
If you're just hitting
it's not called Tame Nick. It's not called, you know.
That was more about the dancing and the garb, man, what people had on, as opposed to their freaks. They have STDs, food.
You sound like
Trump around here.
I didn't say that, Brad.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. It sounded like you were co-signing.
So
I mean, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, we're talking about the freakiness, twerking,
and you're outside
into
of
it,
and you're flashing
your pants.
Much like your folks flash down at Mardi Gras, everything else, and you throw some beads.
And I think
that kind of wild amount and freakiness. We ain't talking about a bunch of freaks out here, fool, looking like Thriller,
like
a bunch of people with STDs.
Bonnaroo or Lollapalooza or Burning Man.
Freaknik used to have the STDs everywhere. That's why you don't go. That's why they had to shut it down.
If the spread of STDs.
If you get a
large group of people assembled of both genders, you're going to run the risk of STD transmission.
Olympics, you're going to see it.
That's why they have
prophylactics all over.
Exactly. Thank you for the...
With a penny candle, did y'all discuss that?
No. What's with the penny candle?
Nike made part of the gift to its athletes.
Oh, in the package?
Penny has a candle that says, keep Paris lit, and it's in a note from to each athlete about, being a part of, representing Team USA.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool that they included...
For sure.
That's very
one of their old school signature guys and his candle in the gifts for all of the American Olympians, apparently.
And now you have not yet.
Now, how did y'all miss that? Y'all weren't talking about the big stories.
I do remember it now. I forgot about it.
We're talking about a candle.
Now, remember, I got one that you didn't get. You were gone.
Brother
Travis King brought it in here to me. No, because I'm waiting on my woman to come home so we can take a bath and a brother can light it.
Oh, well, yeah, she will certainly.
Because, believe me, I ain't just lighting it.
We've been told over the years
son.
That Penny is an aphrodisiac for Faith.
I already told you, we're going to turn the name away. You're going to play a little bit too much today.
Yeah.
Because you know my baby's been gone a long time.
Well, I know, but you brought it up, man. I mean, you said that's what you're waiting on. Now, have you taken the lid off and smelled it?
Yeah, we did. It was fantastic. It was like a lavender smell. Travis King brought it in here to me, gave it to me as a gift. I'm very thankful for it.
Gotcha, okay.
And it smelled fantastic.
I love a good candle. I'll say that. Candles make me feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Same. They make me feel at home, you know, like because my wife is, we don't do air freshener in the house because of the, you know, my wife's very like anal about the chemicals and stuff like that. Like we do glass bottles for Dom. We don't do the plastic because she's worried about the microplastics. Wow. I was just sent a video that we cannot do slushes for Riley. Like she can't have slushy drinks. Again, I just work here. Okay?
John, you missed that TK interview. I got a free t-shirt that they hooked me up with. You talk about keeping it real. Travis King came in here and kept it real.
I did miss it. I did miss it. Was that paternity?
Yeah, that was during paternity leave.
Yeah. But, you know, I lament it. I lament the fact that I missed the penny.
You might have gotten yourself a candle, yeah.
Yeah, you missed a candle.
Now all I got to do is go to the Olympics to get a candle?
Well, you're not a Team USA athlete, so no, you will still not get one.
Well, I mean, I am an American. I am certainly that. I need to work. Where are these on sale? Are these available for retail?
Dude, you can get a penny candle all over the town.
Okay.
Tiger Bookstore, right?
I believe over at Tiger Bookstore still got them. They were good. They were going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, they are hot sellers, bro.
Well, you got
he's doing very well with the candle.
Got to have one.
No smoke, just all fragrance.
And this one's nice to keep Paris lit.
Yeah,
very clever.
Right, that was a special edition.
Mm-hmm.
This one is it? These right here, that's them joints.
Yes.
Hey.
Okay. All right.
And I told you. I already said. I turn the penny face away for the bath.
Exactly.
For
right.
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Smart.
Dad.
Don't need to see him.
Smart decision. Well, Penny's got obviously candles, but he's also got, you know, some former players that just wrapped up Summer League. We didn't mean to get off with Freaknik, but Brad certainly had a very
That's my fault.
Reaction.
That's my fault.
He had a very interesting.
I wasn't trying to judge folks. For
no,
John
I was.
That was not like me.
No,
John
think,
had a picture
any,
of it.
Freaky, you know, kind of where you go.
If you get a collection of people together, you're going to run the risk of transmission.
Yes. Yeah, so when the song Freaks come out at night, you just think about folks with STDs
necessarily.
The freaks dancing, all
but
that.
But are
kind
there
of stuff.
Are is a freak more likely to have an STD?
It's not freaks
yes.
based. It's again not freaks based on STD carrying folks, John.
No,
it's
I know, but
the
freaky
freak based
people
on what you're willing to do
tend to
and the skin you're willing
fornicate
to show
more with other people.
They did that at Woodstock for two.
That's
movies.
What I'm
Let's
saying.
Talk about
That's
Woodstock.
That's what I'm saying. It's all the
essentially
same.
The equivalent or worse Woodstock was.
I
it was a bunch of debauchery
thing.
Going on
I would
there.
Say the same thing. You know, about Burning Man.
And again,
Fire
we
Fest.
Play. Like, folks got, you know, there were bad sides. I believe women did get raped in probably both situations.
Well.
And what was that one that MTV had that fell apart? Remember the fires and everything? Remember that one? You don't remember that?
What was it
and
called?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And that thing, and folks were out there hot, and it all fell apart, and everything was on fire. There was a huge concert out somewhere. I cannot remember where it was.
Is it called fire?
It was huge news. Huge news. And they tore down the things that, you know, the camera stands, and folks were going crazy out there. And that one was a mess. That one was a mess. John's looking it up.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. I don't even remember it.
Yeah.
I don't even. It was
Fire
not,
Festival?
No, that was the Ja Rule one.
Okay.
Yeah, not Fire Festival. Not Fire Festival.
Yeah,
MTV, it was like I want to say it was MTV Music Festival because they had their DJ, their VJs and stuff out there.
And what happened?
There were too many people, this outside concert, sort of like a Woodstock, and eventually the music, I think it was a certain band that set off the crowd, and eventually this riot started. No, I'm not making this up, but it sure looks like I am looking at you two. I think Brad remembers. He just can't find.
I'm trying to think
He's
of it.
He's the closest to remember what the heck
age.
I'm talking about.
We're talking
about.
Late 90s?
Yeah. It's back at that time.
Yeah.
And maybe it was Limp Bizkit was out there, I want to say, at
went,
one point.
It went now, bad. Now, like, that,
maybe
that was...
It was in...
Now, that's the Woodstock remake, right?
Was that, maybe it was a Woodstock,
that's the Woodstock
remake, and that's why it's good. That's
it was the
why
anniversary
it's
party
of
Woodstock, and it went
Woodstock.
Bad. It went south. Yes. Bad.
Woodstock 99.
That's it.
It was a disaster. Whole documentary on it. It's crazy.
It went off the rails, and I was watching live. And I remember going back and then seeing years later the documentary. But I think, I want to tell you, it was Limp Bizkit that was out there.
Bro, watch the documentary on it. It's crazy.
But some of the women out there got it, you know,
peeing all, I mean, nuts.
And all kinds of stuff. Right. And it was just
it was in New Jersey.
And that was, and let me tell you, that was way worse than any Freaknik in terms of things that came out, you know, things that damage done to the property than any Freaknik ever was. That Woodstock remake.
Who were people going crazy over, man? Was it the
Bizkit? Limp Bizkit did stupid stuff.
Song they asked Fred not to do or something. That's in the documentary or something, because they said the crowd is too crazy right now. And he went on and did, man. Man, everything caught fire from there on out. Like, the whole crowd went crazy.
Damn, dude. I'm actually like super
People were on the floor, getting trampled and stuff.
Yeah. Check the documentary. It's wild.
There's a heck of a documentary about it. Anyway, we're going to get to these Tigers in Summer League if we can get past
this.
There were a couple of Tigers that actually had great Summer Leagues, and I'm curious what you think.
Well, so Parr's rounding them up over at the DM, and we'll just kind of go through them here. Amani Bates, Cleveland Cavaliers.
Let him score.
16 points, 3 rebounds, 2.3 assists. Was not efficient in any way, though. 36% from the floor, 29% from three. So basically what he's always been, a shot jacker and inefficient. So I don't think...
How dare you, dude? He led the team in scoring.
Yeah, but I mean, on 36% shooting, bro...
The 36% shooting is not good unless it's just from three.
This is not, I would say, a great summer for Amani Bates. I'm sure they were looking for some more efficiency, and they did not get it from him.
Well, that's never been his thing.
Josh Minot... had a pretty good summer. 15.8 points, 7 rebounds, shot 45% from the floor. So that's better.
I would ask you, did he have the best summer league of any former Tiger?
So. Yes.
It looks like Josh Minot might have.
Now, the problem with Josh is that he can't shoot. He still only shot 23% from three, which is not going to be good enough in the NBA.
And they're in win now mode.
Yeah, he's
so
not.
So how do you get him on the roster?
Exactly.
But why wouldn't another team be interested?
I don't know.
That kind of athlete and showing what he can do from a rebounding standpoint.
That would be the look, right? That would be the way you'd have to go, I think.
Yeah, I think Josh needs to get out of Minnesota if he's ever going to, you know, actually get on the scene, just because the timelines don't match up.
Yeah.
They need to win right now. Yeah, you're right. How does he get in the rotation if he can't shoot?
Yeah, so Boogie Ellis, who we still claim for sure, 11.2 points a game. He had the best summer league, honestly. 11.2 points, 51% from the floor, 55% from three. I mean, that's damn good. He just wasn't the main guy, but...
I didn't see that. 10 and 1.8, 1.4, but I got different numbers. Yeah, so that's 5 games. How many did you have? 4?
I've got 5.
Okay.
So
somebody's off here. One of the beat writers is off.
Somebody's off.
I'm using Munn's numbers.
I'm using Parth's numbers. Stat War. I think we have to decide this at Woodstock.
Yeah, because 10 points, 1.8 rebounds, 1.4 assists wouldn't tell you that he had the best summer league, the ones I'm looking at. So we have
discrepancy. In terms of the percentages.
But I do not have the efficiency numbers. You said those were good.
Yeah.
So those are, yes. Again, Munns versus Parth here.
David Jones, 10.3 points, 5 rebounds, 47% from the floor, 40% from three.
Had a good last game, 23 points on Sunday.
Yes, he found his footing a little more with the 76ers. Damian Baugh, 9 points, 2 rebounds a game, 41% from the floor, 32% from three. So not terrible.
Man, I ended up watching him. He was all over the floor for the Knicks. But they've also got Kolick.
Yes, yes.
And so there is no way Damian Baugh is going to last in an organization that now has Brunson and maybe Tyler Kolick behind him. Damian Baugh is a point guard, right?
Right.
There's nowhere to go up in that organization, I felt like, when I was watching it. Because Kolick was awesome. He looks like a new T.J. McConnell. I mean, that's when I was watching a fiery T.J. McConnell type when I was watching Kolick in Summer League. He looked great.
Yes. So
plays with some riz.
Got hit some aura.
Yes, he does.
You have the great Naquan Tomlin with the Cavs as well. 7 points, 2 rebounds, 50% from the floor, 23% from three. So you have that. Kendrick Davis, our man Kendrick, who had a great year in the G League, did not have such a great summer league. 3 points, 3.3 assists, and left. He dipped in the middle of it. He dipped for Australia.
Yep, good for him. He said it to Australia.
Yeah. And then it became the Kennedy Chandler show. And then DJ Jeffries and Jaquan Walton both combined to play basically no time together. And that's that on that. So that's
I didn't get to see Kennedy. How did he fare?
Yeah, I mean, he played okay. He had a great last game against the Rockets.
Did he?
Again, it's hard to, because they sat Shepard and everything. It's hard to know, sift through that, right?
So he's with the Rockets now.
He actually has no contract, though.
Oh, so he's a free agent.
Yeah, he doesn't even have a two-way, I don't believe.
Yikes.
So
he's just undersized, I guess. I don't know.
Which one of these former Tigers has the best chance? These among the Summer League competitors. We're taking out the Jalen Durans and those guys. Or we're not even including Wiseman in this.
The best chance?
Yeah, just best chance. I'm going to go Josh Minot.
I would go Josh Minot as well.
I think maybe in another organization he can get on the scene.
Because he at least like can do something.
He has the NBA athleticism, the energy. Like elite-level NBA athleticism.
Yeah, like Amani's just never going to be an efficient scorer.
Not efficient enough.
Boogie's too small. Like
David's too small for his position. I feel like even though, shout out to him for getting the two-way. I don't really hate on that guy. He bet on himself and he got his two-way. Like, you can't do anything but salute that.
Yes, exactly.
Even though I still think
he made the wrong decision. Damian Ball can't shoot. DJ didn't play at all. Kendrick Davis is in Australia. Jaquan Walton played 3.5 minutes.
I like what I see with Naquan Tomlin, but I feel like there's more going on behind the scenes there than we know.
Maybe.
In terms of dealing with him.
Maybe.
Because he's a big who can shoot and run the floor. I don't understand why that doesn't translate, but what was it, 7 points, 2.4 rebounds, 18 minutes per game. He got a shot, but... I watched him in Memphis this year and thought, man, he plays the NBA game. But you know, who knows? A lot of these guys got more going on.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the Summer League report for the Memphis Basketball Tigers.
A lot of them.
Up and down. There's a lot of guys going for it, for sure.
Penny Dunn had a lot of them.
Yes.
At least guys that, you know, were both in the NBA and then guys that, you know, were right there.
Exactly.
Next level down.
Exactly. Anyway. We'll come back. Norton Hurd IV is going to join us around 1:25. We'll talk to him about Summer League, Peach Jam, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Turn FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.